since 19. They got married at 19 and they started in the ministry since 19. And they've been going strong. And, you know, when he thought he was going to retire, God said, no, you're going to refire. And God gave my mother-in-law a dream of having a home for children. So she retired from her job, what, after 20 years? 19 years, and they went and built a home for children called Bless the Children Home in Guyana, South America, where they're from. And in their retirement, they are reaching another generation. Amen? Because those kids in that home, they get taught the Word of God every night. And they know more scriptures than a lot of other Christians, I'll tell you what. And God is changing their life. They come from the streets. They come from horrible conditions. And when you go there and you say, woo, look what the Lord has done. So I want you to give a warm VCF welcome for my father-in-law as he comes and ministers the word. And back at our offering container, we have a sheet with some information about the home and lists of things that the kids would need. And if you'd like to donate to that, you know, you can look at that list and check that out.
Praise the Lord. Good to be back here in Victory Christian Fellowship and to worship with you. And I know when we are not here with you that your prayers are with us. My wife is here today, Sister Sheila. Would you please stand? The funny thing about my wife, she talks to me all the time. But when it's time to come up here and talk, we don't want to talk. But we are blessed. We're blessed today to be here. We're honored to be here. We're on this trip. We're doing a physical checkup. Actually, we just got on Medicare not too long ago. So we couldn't do it before. You know how that goes? And I've seen the doctor two times already. And tomorrow we have another appointment with the doctor. Oh, it's not that we are sick, but just that, you know, we're getting stuff together. Make sure we're on the right track to stay alive long enough to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? I want to congratulate Pastor Doug and Pastor Fiona for the great work they're doing. And I want to congratulate you for helping them and supporting them. And I want you to know together, you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. But there is an unseen force that always fights the church. But with your help and your prayers for the pastor and his wife, family, there must be victory. There will be victory. And the victory is people's lives will be changed. People will be saved. They'll be delivered. They'll be set free. There's no greater joy than to see somebody change their lives through Jesus Christ. Where we're working right now with these kids, we have 29 kids. And it'll be a long time for me to tell you all their stories. But Brother Les, Sister Julie, and Pastor, and his wife, and a couple others have been there, and they see what we're doing. God has blessed us that we have one of the best orphanages in the Caribbean, if not in the world. Somebody says, how do you know that? For the past month, we had a man by the name of Robert Baker visit our orphanage. His job is to visit orphanages all over the world and to assess them and tell you how to improve. And he said, this orphanage is one of the best you've seen in over 85 countries in the world. So you're on to a good thing. And let me say this. If I'm going to do something for the Lord, I'm going to do it the best that I could. What's the use of having an orphanage and we're all starving and it's all messed up and it's all a big confusion? I don't think that glorifies God. But something happened this past year in the month of, was it June or July? And I need to take a little time to testify about this because you need to hear it. Now, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I may be a Bible teacher, a little bit. So I'm going to take my time and talk. When we got the orphanage and we dedicated it, there was a gentleman there by the name of Hugh Carver. Hugh Carver is the president of the Men and Women of Action for the Church of God. Some of you know the Church of God. So while the building was going up, I wrote Hugh Carver, and I said, Brother Carver, I would like your help to put up this building. And Brother Carver said that we don't provide funds. You provide all the materials. You provide a place for us to stay. We'll come and stay, and, you know, we build. I said, well, I have a little fund and a little material. But Brother Carver was such a Christian gentleman, he sought help. And he brought about 18 people together to form a team. And they went down there and they built, and they gave us money to buy materials and all of that. But while he was there, he wanted to adopt the orphanage in honor of his son, Tyler Carver, who died in an accident at the age of 16. He was a Christian. And every time Brother Carver talks about his son, he cries. And my wife, Sheila, guided him and said, this orphanage is already registered here in Pennsylvania and here in Guyana under the name of Bless the Children Home. So why don't you put up a church in honor of your son? And he grabbed the idea. And we were pursuing a piece of land all the time. And you want to hear this. The first piece of land we were trying to get, it was a false deal. The person involved collected the money, but had no power to sell the land. You listen to me? Thank God we got our money back. Now, I wasn't the one doing the deal. It was the head of the Church of God doing the deal. You understand? Because Carver is from the Church of God. And if he's going to build a church, he wants it to be under the name of the church. I said, fine, no problem. I'll work with Victory Christian Center. I'll work with Church of God. I'll work with Assemblies of God. I'll work with everybody. And so what happened? That land deal fell through. So we found a beautiful piece of land in a better area. And we told Brother Carver. Now, the head of the Church of God now, he's got to sign the papers to get this land. You know how they do it. I don't have to go into all of that detail. So we are waiting on him now. You know what I mean? I go to his office. You know, brother, we're waiting on you to get this paper. He said, yes, yes. We call the lawyer. But we're waiting on this paper from the head of the church. The lawyer will tell us. We go back to his office and they're waiting on a paper from you. He said, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. And they dragged on for 3 years, 3.5 years. And Brother Carver was getting frustrated. I was getting frustrated. We were praying, brother. We were fasting, Lord, give us this land in the name of Jesus. So this guy who was the head of the church, he got thrown out. I mean, he got voted out. He's still in the church. So another guy came in. So myself and Sheila went, sit down in his office, said, you know, brother, we appreciate you. We congratulate you that you got this big job. You know what I mean? Please, let's get this land through. Oh, he said, my lawyer's going to handle it. I said, fine. So in all of this, this new guy who took over, something was wrong with him. So he wrote a letter to one of the leaders of the Caribbean, and he sent a copy to me. I want you to listen carefully now. Although Brother Carver was going to build this church in the name of the Church of God, he got the headquarters here in Cleveland to send me a letter officially that I will be the pastor as long as I want to be, and whoever I put will be the pastor, and this church will serve the orphanage. You know, you see what I mean? This is not a, you know, this church will serve the orphanage. The kids of the orphanage will worship in it. So this overseer, the head guy, wrote a letter and says, how come I'm the head of the church and somebody else is going to appoint a pastor for this church that is in the Church of God? Are you following? So I send a letter to Brother Carver. I said, Brother Carver, can you explain this to me? And Brother Carver, he got mad. I mean, he got hurt. Because here he was trying to build a church for the Church of God. And he got to go. Brother Carver called me right away. And he said, go to the lawyer. Tell the lawyer, put the land in the name of Bless the Children Home. I said, okay, sir. I went to the lawyer. I told the lady. I got the number. The secretary said, let him call me. I said, okay. Got her number, Senator Carver. He called her and said, this thing is going to be in the Blessed Children Home. Within a few months, within 4 months, 5 months, we got a paper. We signed it, went to the courthouse, you know, you do it, sign up, stamp up, ready. The land is now in the name of the Blessed Children Home. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we're waiting, Brother Carver, he wants to build a nice church. And he's now trying to raise some money. He's going to do all of that to build the church. So we want you to pray that God will bless and God will help us. And we will get a nice church. I don't know. My vision is a nice, beautiful church. He told me on the phone. We went to his house to visit with him. And he said, I said, Brother Carver, what kind of church you want? He said, not what I want, what you want. I said, okay, fine. He told me that. He said, we want to build a church and we're going to build a gym behind that church. I said, great. The land that we got is 207 feet long and 62 feet wide. And it's between two highways. So you can't get a better land than that. The other lands that are there, people already own them. So now we're getting in there. And we can put a high sign up, you know, so they can see it from both highways and they can come. So God is good. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is blessing. He's doing great things. And I can go on and tell you more and more. But just the other day, not too long ago, one of her girls who was reunited with her mother, actually two of them went to live with their mother because their father was separated and they were living in the orphanage. And they were living far away. In Guyana, far away, 25 miles is far away because, you know, it's not so easy to travel. And one day I was in the yard doing something, and it was getting a little dusty. Nighttime was coming in. And I saw by the gate this young lady with a uniform, school clothes, standing at the gate with her bag. It was Shabina from where over Essequibo, another county. She came there. I said, Shabina, what are you doing? And she was laughing and smiling. She said, I got away. She got a bus, and she came to Georgetown, got another bus, and came to where we are, and walked right in. I said, why you got away? She said, I don't like it. And she was staying with her mother. But obviously, she wasn't treating her right. Now, legally, we couldn't keep her. You know how it goes? So we had to call the social workers, and so forth, and so forth. And then she said, she's not going back. I said, she's going to hide. I said, no, no. I said, why don't you go this time and come back next week and spend the weekend with us? I was trying to get her, you know. She said, okay. And she went back with her mother. But just to show you the impact of the orphanage on the lives of these children. Some people came in the other day and they were visiting. And we have a little guy, his name is Curtis. You must have seen it on the internet. He's 4.5 years old, you know. And I said, Curtis, these people want a little boy to go with them and live. I said, you going? I said, no. I said, they got chocolate, they got ice cream, they got toys, they got everything. He said, I said, you're going? He said, no, not going. We never had a runaway from our home. Our gates are open all the time. But because of the love of God in our hearts, and because we show them what it is to be a good Christian, they're there. The work goes on. And I was telling somebody, we can have 100 kids, but we can only do as much as our budget will allow us to do. And sometimes we stretch that budget. But God is good. He supplies in different ways. Right now, God is providing food for us on a regular basis from one restaurant and from another person giving us food. And so God is good. Amen? God keeps providing all the time, and we want to praise Him. We want to give Him glory. The lives of these children are changing. Every day you can see the change. And these were kids from the street. They came to us without, can't spell their names. Abused, violated, beaten up. Some of the boys got scars on their hands all over where they were hit, where they were beaten up by their parents. And now we're praying that God is going to change their lives. They want to be preachers. They want to be doctors. We're building them up. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we thank God for your support every day. You know, if I'm giving to something, I want to know where it goes. And I want you to know your money is going to be well spent. We have people that are anxious to give to us. Let me tell you what happened the other day. We had six women that visited. One of them was Carver's wife. She came to see the land. And one of the other ladies who were leading the group, she was there and she worked in the building. And I said, Betty Symes is the name. You know that guy by the name of Richard Haddon? She said, yes, Richard travels with us. Richard was one of the first men that came and worked in the building. And would you believe unto today, 5 years after, Richard sends an offering every month. And you know what happened the other day? I told him, I said, Brother Richard, we are going to the States to see the doctor. And he said, Brother Sir, he wrote back and said, I pray for you every day. And people all over are concerned and they want to see the work go forward. But the devil is not happy about that. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Hallelujah. We want to pray for the orphanage this morning. We want to pray that God is going to move on them. The lives of those children will be changed. And God's will be done. Father, we approach your throne in the name of Jesus. You're the one who have called us to this work. You're the one that have established this work. You provide them money every month that we can pay the bills and we can feed those children. And this morning I pray a precious prayer for them that they'll be touched, Lord. Your hand will be upon them. The anointing of the Lord will lead them on. Protect them every day. Preserve them. And open doors for them that they can be somebody that can stand up and be counted for you. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray for those house parents that are in charge, that they will receive your wisdom, your love, your understanding, and they will lead those children on. God, I thank you for all the needs that you've met. I thank you for all your blessings. Today, I ask that your blessing be upon your message. It will reach our hearts, and we will know more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have your seat. It's funny that the moon, you know the moon in the sky, doesn't have any money. Funny, isn't it, that the moon doesn't have any money? You know why? She's always on her last quarter. Turn to the book of Philippians this morning. You like that? I thought it was funny. Philippians chapter 3. This is a more like a teaching, preaching message today. And you may want to keep your Bibles open or whatever. Verse 1, chapter 3, Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. I'm reading from the New International Version. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. Those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. We who worship God by the Spirit of God. Who glory in Christ Jesus. And who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself has reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And this is my main verse here today. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ, that I might know him. That's the name of my message today, that I might know Christ. You know, many of you here, you know me. I'm the father of Fiona. Let me see how many of you know that. Raise your hand. Wonderful. But do you really know me? Many of you don't know my name. Isn't that something? My name is Serge Paul. If you speak to me officially, you say Mr. Serge Paul. Am I right? If you went to school with me, you'll say Serge North. If somebody says Serge North, I'll turn back and jump because not everybody know my first name. All right, here we go. You see, you thought you knew me. Here we go. If you call me Serge, you're somebody very close to me because not everybody would call me Serge. You see how it goes? Furthermore, if you call me Son, you are gone far away. Because that's the family name. That's what my brothers and sisters call me. That's what my mother will call me. You know what I mean? Son, all the time. So you don't really know me. You need to know more. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, we're living in a day of information. Everybody wants to know. Is that right? And we got so many. You go back home today, there's something new that you need to know about. Is that right? Worst of all, we got some people around us who wants to know everything. The cell phones buzz all the time. I remember I was working while I was here. When I live here, I work. And there was this young lady to work with us. And she just heard some news about somebody else. And she said, Search bar, give me a quarter. I got to call this girl. I got to tell her this stuff. I said, I don't have any quarters. She went around everybody to get a quarter to give this information to somebody else. But you know, not so with Christ. There are not too many people that are going to see Christ, to search for him, to know him. And then this morning, in this little conversation, who knows you more? You personally, who knows you more? Your mother? Your wife? Your children? That's why the Apostle Paul said, I want to know him, and I want to know him more. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a lot of people today, they have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have a head knowledge. They say, oh yeah, I know he's Son of God. Oh yeah. But not a heart knowledge. Not a deep experience to know him. Now here's a man, the Apostle Paul. He saw Jesus on the road of Damascus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. How many of you saw Jesus here? I don't think so. This guy saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he got converted. But the church would not accept him right away. So he went into Arabia and spent 3 years studying. Now we can turn to all these scriptures, but I'm sure you'll understand that we don't have the time, but you'll accept what I'm saying. After he spent 3 years, he was reintroduced to the apostles, and he began to preach and do miracles. And then after a while, this guy was taken up into the third heavens. Anybody remember that? Paul was taken up into the third heaven and received stuff that he should not talk about. He saw Jesus, studied for 3 years in the desert. He went up to the third heaven. He wrote about 14 books in the New Testament. Am I right? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then he said, I want to know him more. I want to know him more. And here we are in our church today. We can sing a little bit. We can quote a couple of scriptures. But we don't seek to hunger and thirst after righteousness to know him more. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every believer, I should say every true believer, should desire to know Jesus more. And he said, I don't really want to know him, but I want to suffer like him. What are you talking about? This guy was shipwrecked. This guy was beaten more than once. This guy was thrown in jail. This guy was rejected by brethren. He was starved. He was stoned and left for dead. Slandered, forsaken. And he said, I want to suffer like him. And he said, not only I want to suffer like him, I want to become like him in his death. I want to be made conformable unto his death, that I may experience the power of his resurrection that will raise me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. You know why? I want to know him more. If you're a true believer, there will be a burning desire in your heart to know Jesus more. Amen. To know everything you know, need to know about him. I don't know if you ever had the experience. Very embarrassing experience. You might be walking downtown, you know what I mean? And just over the other side of the road, you see somebody from the back that resemble your friend or somebody you know, and you're walking faster to get up to them, and you get up there and say, hey, and they turn around, and you said, excuse me, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody that I know. You see, we're talking about knowing today, trying to get all these illustrations to get this point home, how much we need to know Jesus Christ. But you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord, but how much do you really know him? Do you know his voice? My sheep know my voice. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know what he likes? I can tell you right away, he likes worship. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know what he dislikes? Sin. Hypocrisy. He hates it. Somebody say amen. Unforgiveness. He dislikes those things. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, when you know somebody and the phone rings and you pick it up, you don't ask who is this? Am I right? You know the voice. You know the voice right away. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you know Jesus, my friend, you know his voice. Oh, he calls your name the sweetest way. When you hear him call your name, you'll be surprised. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, I want to know him more, he says. See, when you know somebody real good, you know the food they like. You know the kind of clothes they wear. You even know the way they think. Because I tell you what, if they come in here this morning and see this place all messed up, I know what they'll say. Am I right? And I'm saying to you today, if you know Jesus Christ, that the way you should know him, you will know that he loves you. You will know that he wants to help you. You will know he wants you to draw closer to him. You'll know he wants you to spend time with him, because when you know somebody, that's the way you get to know them more, by spending time with them. And we have a lot of people today that don't spend time enough with the Lord. He said, I want to know him. I want to suffer like him. I want to become like him in his death. And I want to experience the resurrection. You know, I haven't started preaching. I'm going to start preaching now. Do you know him as a creator? Oh, we know God. He created everything. But you know, John chapter 1, verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All things were made by him. Without him was not. He is the creator. And he showed us that he's the creator when he spit on the ground and mixed the clay, the dust and the clay, and anointed the eyes of the man and said, go wash in the pool. He was giving us a lesson in how he did it. And when the man was healed, the people, the neighbors, did not know it was the same man. You ought to read that story. They did not believe he was blind. His eyes were perfectly healed. He is a creator. I like that. He can create new joints. Hallelujah. He can create new discs in your back. Not only is he a creator, he is a sustainer. He keeps everything spinning. Are you with me? He feeds the birds and the animals and the fish in the sea. He is the sustainer. And if you believe he is a sustainer, he will sustain you. You see, as much as we know him, so much we trust him. I don't think anybody here knows me more than my wife. I'm surprised she's still living with me. Thank you, Sheila. It's funny that in a marriage you need somebody to argue with somebody. Thank God for her. She got a lot of patience with me. Do you know that before he came, before Jesus came to earth, he was worshiped in heaven? And when he came to earth, they spit on him, they laughed at him, they mocked him, and they crucified him. And he came to earth through a virgin whose name was Mary. And today we have a lot of people that dispute that. That is impossible, they say. But to me, that is easier than the first Adam that he made. The first Adam was made from pure dust. This guy, the Lord has something to work with here. Somebody say amen. He was made from a virgin. And he went to the cross and became our Savior. Somebody say amen. Amen. To deliver us from sin, from hell, and from judgment. He paid the price, became our Redeemer. Are you still with me this morning? Yeah. Oh, I don't want you to get bored. A Redeemer is somebody that pays the price for something that was pawned, something that was sold before. They pay the price to get it back. Hallelujah. We are sold into sin, slaves to sin. He's the healer of all diseases. If the Lord was not a healer today, where would you have been? Where would I have been? He healed all kinds of sickness. When I was in India last year, went to the tomb of the Apostle Thomas. His tomb is in India. He died there. And there are stories about the Apostle Thomas, of the great things he did. He raised 29 people from the dead. About 100 and some people, blind eyes were open. And many crippled were healed. They honored this guy. You can see the tomb. And when they excavated the tomb, they found bones that they have on display. The bones of Thomas the Apostle. A mighty man of God. Are you still there? Amen. So Jesus Christ is the healer. Yeah. And God has given him a name that is above every name. Somebody say amen. Amen. That name is above the name of arthritis. Yeah. Fever. Heart disease. I can't even call somebody's name. any disease, the name of Jesus is above that name. He is the deliverer. Deliverer from demon possession. Deliverer from people that are bound by evil. Bound by evil spirits. Bound by demons that will drive them crazy. Jesus is the deliverer. He's not only the deliverer, he's the provider. I like that. He provides bread and fish. He provides wine. He provides money for taxes. I taught this story in my orphanage to the kids. Every night we have devotion. And when Jesus broke that bread and he gave it, he kept breaking the bread. And it was never done. So we call it never done bread. Think about it. If there was 5,000 more people to feed, he would keep breaking the bread. And it would never done. Somebody say amen. I like that. My God, sometimes God do a miracle in our own kitchen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. A little bit will go a long way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a provider. I like that. I like that. I like that. It's amazing. Just to show you how God works. A pastor from America visited us, and the taxi guy that drives him to the orphanage. Well, the minister and the taxi guy never came before. So the taxi guy is a Guyanese, Guyana man, never saw the orphanage. He was blown away. You know, he was shocked. He took out right away, he took out 29,000 Guyana dollars, which is about 150 US dollars, and gave it to me. He's the provider. And then more shocking, there was a young lady living, our lot number is lot 42. She's living at lot 46, same street. I never seen her before. She brought some money and she said, I want to give you this for the offering. God is the mighty provider. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We don't have to beg. We just ask. He answers prayers. Prayers are answered in the name of Jesus. Now, we're talking about knowing the Lord here and knowing about him. You see what I mean? Like, if you come to Guyana, you got to learn how to drive again. We drive on the other side. But you think you know how to drive. You think you know how to drive. Is that right? You come over there, you have a lot of lessons. One of the lessons you're going to learn is before the light changes to green, we have a countdown of seconds. There's a countdown, a clock on the light. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. By the time you get to 4 seconds, the guys are blowing their horn behind you. Move. You know what I mean? Get ready. I'm serious. And if you don't move in time and they pass by you, they curse you, literally. Get off the road. So you think you know to drive. And that's just like a lot of people. They think they know Jesus. But in their hearts, they really don't know who he is. How he loves you. How he longs for you to come and kneel before him. Hallelujah. We talked to our little grandson on the iPad. And when we appear in the house, he couldn't know what to do. He was so shocked. He knew us on the iPad, you know, talked to him. And then, you know, after a while, he shocked, got in and he saw us, and then where we are. You see, there's a lot of people that know Jesus through somebody else, you know. I like how the preacher, you know, he talk about Jesus. But you ought to know him for yourself. Amen. You ought to know him for yourself, brother. Not on an iPad. Person to person. Meet him. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Yeah, he's not only the answer prayers, he's the Messiah. He's the prophet, he's the priest. Somebody say amen. He's the bread, he's the water, he's the light, he's the door, he's the way, the truth. He's the star, he's the rock. He's the Son of God. And the demons shouted out, you are the Son of God. And he said, shut up, don't tell anybody. He's a good shepherd. that leads us along. I like that. I have a leader. I have a leader. And he's a good shepherd, leads us along. And you know the story about the guy? He wasn't leading the sheep, he was chasing the sheep. And somebody said, how is that? Look, the other guy, he's leading the sheep. And the guy said, the one that's leading the sheep, he's the shepherd. The one that's chasing the sheep, he's the butcher. He's a butcher. The Lord leads us in pastures green, beside still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. He had a body like yours. He got weary. He got thirsty. He got hungry. And one time he cried. He cried at the grave of Lazarus. Another time he cried over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, how long would I be able to gather you like a hen gather a chicken under her wings, and you would not? Do you really know Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the second Adam. Born of a virgin, lived in the world, and passed every test that Adam failed. Adam failed. He went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he overcome every test. And here, we're getting more serious now. He's a victor over death. I'm not afraid of death because he conquered death. I'm ready. Anytime he calls, I'm ready. Oh, here we go. We're getting serious now. He's the judge of all men. The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. You see, there was coming a day when there's going to be a great white throne set up. You need to know this. And the Lord will be sitting on that white throne. And the dead will be brought up from hell, from the lake of fire. And every man will stand before that judgment throne and hear the fatal words of the Lord. Depart from me. I know you not. Oh, I know Jesus is the lover of my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. But it's coming a day when you ought to know he's going to be the judge. The judge of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Not only is he going to be the judge of the world, he's going to be the judge of the saints. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me stop here long enough to let you know. The white throne judgment are for those who don't accept Jesus Christ. But the judgment seat of Christ are for the believers. Not to be judged for their sins, but to be judged for their works. What they have done. I'm going to stop long enough to let you know this. It's not how much we do. Is our attitude in doing it. Watch this now. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if you're going to do something for God, it's got to come out of love. You know, there's some people that clean the church and said, oh my, I'm the only one that do this every week. I'm just sick of this. I'm tired. I'm going to tell the pastor, that's it. Today's the last day I'm cleaning. The works like that is going to be burned up like trash. But the works that are good, you sing a song unto God. And you say, Lord, I take pleasure in cleaning your house. I take pleasure in those things will go up as pure gold to your credit. And some will wear a martyr's crown, some will wear a righteousness crown, some will wear a crown of life, some will wear a faithfulness crown. But gifts will be given out at the judgment seat of Christ. But the main thing about the judgment seat is your attitude, your motive. You know, a lot of people don't invite orphanage people to come speak at their church. And you know why? Because they have to raise an offering for the orphanage. But if you've got good religion, James said, a person that is really saved, a person that really knows Jesus, will care for the fatherless and for the widows in their time of distress. So don't allow nobody to fool you. It's hard to get appointments when they know you're coming to talk about the orphanage. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. But do you know this morning? We're getting a little more serious now, you know. He loves the little children. He said, bring them unto me. Julie, bring the crack babies unto Jesus. Bring those babies that are born addicts. Bring them to Jesus. Bring the crippled ones. He said, I love them. Let them come to me. Those that are abused and beaten and forsaken and left on the street, bring them in to me. It's a command. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Those that the parents don't want anymore, bring them into me. Those that were aborted and it didn't come true, they still live through the abortion. He said, bring them to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Bring those that are cancer kids with their bald heads. Bring them to me. Somebody say amen. This is the Jesus I am presenting to you today. The one that loved the forsaken. The one that loved the children that nobody loved. The one that has power to make them what he wants them to be. Amen. You say you know him. You say you love him. But you don't love the children. He loves the children. If you know anything about him, is he gave his life for those children. My wife will tell you, even the house parents at our orphanage will say that I love the kids too much. They say I spoil the kids. No, 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 no. I can't help it. I can't help loving them. All their lives they were beaten up. All their lives they were beaten by a drunk father. You should see those kids come on my lap and don't want to get off. You should see them come all over me. If I got a little boiler, they said, oh, Pastor, you got a boiler? They look at everything. And I'm saying to you today, if you know Jesus, he gave his life that these kids would have a life. That you and I will go and deliver them from the monsters they live with. From the people that are possessed by Satan. To destroy their minds, their little minds. To destroy their egos and their self-esteem. And make them feel like they're worse than a dog. Lock them up in the basement, you know. Starve them. No, no, no. He loves them. And if you know anything about Jesus, he's going to punish those who caused these children to suffer. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's the Alpha and Omega. I'm looking at a clock also. Beginning and the end. Not only the beginning and the end, but the beginning and the of your life, and he will be the end of your life. He has the keys of death and hell. Not only does he have the keys of death and hell, he has the keys to your life. Do you know that? How easily people pass on from this world to the other. How easily they die. We're still alive. How many freak accidents you hear about? They go to the hospital to get better, and the doctor gives them a wrong injection, a wrong pill, and they die there. And then, of course, they investigate afterwards. We're still alive because of the love of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Because God has a work for you. Because God cares for you. John the Revelator knew him. John the Revelator was the youngest disciple. John the Revelator, he laid on Jesus' chest. And one commentator said, because he laid on Jesus' chest, he wrote all those books about love. For God so loved the world. Love one another. And it was a long time that John was cast on the Isle of Patmos. And he was there alone, the last living apostle. I would imagine he didn't see Jesus in person for about 50 years. But one day, one Sunday, it was the Lord's Day, he was in worship. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I heard a noise behind me and I turned to look. It was the noise of a trumpet. And when I looked, I saw someone like the Son of Man walking among the candlesticks. And the candlesticks represents the church. And in his hand he had 7 stars. His eyes were a flame of fire. From his mouth there was a two-edged sword, sharp. His ears were white like wool. Had a rope from top right down, tied at the waist, and his feet shone like fine brass. His face shone like the sun. John had never seen him in his full glory. And when John saw him, he fell down dead. And the Lord said, hey, get up, boy. I'm he that was dead. I'm alive. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I got the keys here of death and hell. Get up. You tell me you know Jesus Christ, and you don't know that he is a resurrected Lord, and you don't know that he's got the keys to your life, and you don't know he's going to bring to pass his will in your life, if you will let him. Do you know this morning he's coming again in clouds of glory? The trumpet shall sound, and the archangel will shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And those that are dead shall be raised, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. And we ought to be ready. Our hearts ought to be in the right place. And then when we go to heaven, you see, not only is he coming as king. Revelation chapter 19, he said, I saw a white horse. And many other white horses coming out of heaven. And he had a vesture dipped in blood. On his clothes was written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's above all kings. He's above all presidents. He's above all governors. Somebody say amen. Woo! Oh, man, listen to this. We are talking to someone who is above everybody else. Why should we feel so small? Why should we put ourselves down? He's got the power. He's got the authority. And once we know him and know how he operates, he will work on our behalf. Somebody say amen. See, we're getting more and more serious. Not only is he Alpha and Omega, not only is he coming as king, he's God. God the Son. He said, Thomas, I like to talk about this because Thomas is a little backslider. Because when the Lord was dead and they buried, Thomas said, hey, I'm done. I thought this guy was going to be king, you know. He's going to take over from Pilate and Herod and throw them out. And I was going to be working with him. I said, no, I don't believe. And Mary and the other disciples went and said, Thomas, we saw the Lord. Crazy, he said. He said, you guys leave me alone. Don't give me that story. I don't want to hear it. Thomas, the Lord said he wanted to meet you next Sunday. Thomas said, let me tell you guys something once and for all. I'm going to come one more time to that church. And if he comes, I want to see those nail prints in his hand. I said, I don't want no fake Jesus. I want a real Jesus. Come on now. Do you know the real Jesus? Hey, you're getting serious here, brother. Is that right? You tell me you know Jesus, you know the real one? with a pierce in his side, the nail prints in his hand, the scratches of the thorn on his brow. And Thomas said, I'm going to come one more time. And when he went there, they were all gathered for church that Sunday morning, and through the door came Jesus. He said, Thomas, come here. Put your fingers in my hand. Put your hand in my side and see that it's I myself. And Thomas bowed him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see but yet believe. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the King. He is God. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the God that could worship. She should worship him. He gives life. He raised the dead. He walks on the sea. And this morning, he's all in all. All in all. Whatever you want him to be, that's what it's going to be. He's going to be a father. He's going to be a brother. He's going to be a healer. He's going to be a deliverer. He is all in all. Hallelujah. How do I know him more? By reading about him. The message we got this morning is the Word of God. Very important. By reading about him. By learning more about him. How do I know him? Waiting in his presence. How do I know him? Copying his life. Living like him. Doing what he would have done. I'm closing now, so you can relax. To know him is to have eternal life. When you know him, when you believe in him, your life, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. To know him is to worship him. And I want you to hear this. The more you know him, is the better you worship him. Yeah, I see people lift both hands up with their eyes closed and their heads thrown back and they worship. And I see other people with no hands up and their head bowed and they're not saying anything. The more you know him, is the more you're going to worship him, because you realize he is everything. You cannot go anywhere without him. And the apostle says, I want to know him more, that I may know him. We got a president. I don't care much about him. We got other people that are great. I don't want to know about them. I want to know about Jesus. When Mary found out that he was right behind her, she went to worship him. To know Jesus is to carry out his mission. Into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. To know him is to trust him. I left my keys for the cars with one of our brothers who's in charge. I know him. He's a good driver. I know he's not going to sell them. I know he's not going to wreck them. I know him. Are you getting it here? I don't know you much. I wouldn't give you the keys to my house. I'll go with you if you want to go. But I wouldn't give you. In other words, now here, when you know Jesus, you know what he can do. Come on, let's preach here, little brother. He can fix broken lives. He can cast out demons. He can meet every need. Somebody say amen. Yes, amen. He can fix the church. Yes. He can fix everything, because I know who he is. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's my all in all. That I may know him more. That I may know the power of his resurrection. That he will raise me from death and lift me up. So I know him today, and I know, listen to this, I'm closing. He keeps his promises. Call upon me and I will answer you. If you ask anything in my name, you said, oh, come on now. I don't care what situation you're in. I know Jesus can fix it. Amen. He stopped the tears of the widow whose son was dead. Mary and Martha cried no more because Lazarus came back to life. When the people were hungry, he fed them. When they were thirsty, he gave them drink. Listen to me. If you know Jesus, he has an answer for you. If you know him, he will not turn you away. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm trying to come to a close here, but my spirit is. Oh. If you know him and he knows you, on the great judgment day, he wouldn't say, depart from me, I know you not. He's going to say, come. Inherit what my Father has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let's stand together for prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to picture Jesus in your mind this morning. High and lifted up. Sitting on a throne in heaven. I want you to confess and say, Lord, forgive me. I thought I know you plenty, but I realize how much more I need to know about you. I need to know when you are near. I need to know your presence. I need to know the touch of your hand. I need to know the smell of your fragrance. I need to know you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Help me pray, saints. I think the Lord wants to help somebody today. And we cannot close without giving them a chance to let the Lord help them. Help me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let someone be bold enough to come to you and say, Lord, you know everything about me, and I want to know you more this morning. You can fix my life. You can fix my family. You can fix everything about me. Oh, hallelujah. Is there somebody that would come for prayer? Would you come for prayer this morning? If you're not saved, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. If you're not saved, you need to know the Lord as your Savior this morning. If you don't know him as a Savior, you stand before the white throne judgment. And he said, depart from me. I know you not. How much you know him, so much you're going to worship him. Is there somebody need prayer for healing? Is there somebody need prayer for something in their lives? I don't want to know. I don't want to know what it is. But I'm going to introduce you to Jesus, who knows it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there someone that don't understand what's going on in their life? You don't understand what's going on. You don't know. Oh, my goodness. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm coming to Jesus. You got a loved one this morning. You got a loved one. You want them to know Jesus more. You want him to be saved. You want him to come to Jesus and know him more. Oh, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection and be made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. I want you, the altar, to reach out to him. Come on. Call upon him. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to start praying at this end. And we're going to try to pray for everybody. Hallelujah. Isn't that great that we can know Jesus? And he knows about us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Makes me whole. And nobody may understand, but Jesus understands. Jesus understands. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, let there be deliverance, God. Let there be healing. In the name of the Lord, we bind Satan's work. In the name of Jesus. Oh, so come on.